hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off in Lyon, France, where about 2.5 hours from now, Portugal will play Wales in the first semifinal at the European Football Championship. It's being billed as a battle between Real Madrid teammates Cristiano Ronaldo of Portugal and Gareth Bale of Wales, the two most expensive players in international football. But Bale says that's really not the case. The Welshman says, and I quote, "It's not about two players. It's about two nations in a semifinal. 11 men against 11 men. Bale and Ronaldo, though, are the big engines that power the attacks of Wales and Portugal. Bale appears to be in better form so far at Euro 2016. He scored a goal in each of Wales's group stage matches. And this Portuguese fan in Lyon agrees with my assessment.
Bale is in a better shape. I think Bale didn't made so many matches as Cristiano did during the season, so it is pretty much impressive. But Cristiano can appear at any time, we hope.
Cristiano Ronaldo, meanwhile, scored twice against Hungary in Portugal's last group stage match. This evening's winner in Lyon will play either host France or world champion Germany in Sunday's final at the Stade de France, just outside Paris. Let's hear now from a couple of Welsh fans who are in Lyon for this evening's big match.
Well, I think after beating Belgium, who were supposed to be seeded two in the world, well, why not? You know, Portugal haven't, you know, obviously Portugal could have a great game tonight, but they haven't played, you know, very exciting football in the previous game, so why not? Wales, I think Wales are playing very good football.
But they're a team, and that's the beauty of it. They're a team. They're not like the rest of them. There's no individuals, so it should work. That's the difference between now and a few years ago with the likes of Giggs. He wouldn't turn up. All this team turns up. Bale isn't the star. He's just one of a part of a unit. So confident tonight, very confident.
Meanwhile, the French national football team arrived at their hotel in Marseille on Wednesday, on the eve of their Euro 2016 semifinal against Germany. Irene Gorbon, with a France flag wrapped around her, was one of the French fans who greeted the team in Marseille.
Of course, I expect our victory because Germany will miss some players, some main players, because of their card and of some leisures. And we are at home. We are plenty of moral, plenty of patience. And after the score 5-2, we are sure in our team and they are sure in themselves. So it cannot be another. And we'll take revenge for the Mondial Cup.
French football fan Irene Gorbon speaking Wednesday in Marseille. We heard Irene say how Germany will be missing some main players for Thursday night's semifinal against France. German defender Mats Hummels is suspended. Striker Mario Gomez is out with a thigh injury. And the Germans also have injury questions about midfielders Sami Khedira and Bastian Schweinsteiger. Tennis news now on the sunny side of sports. And joining us now with an update on the prestigious Wimbledon tournament in England is Jonah Haskell. Sporty greetings, Jonah.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The men's quarterfinals are underway in London, and we've already seen one incredible match. Earlier on Wednesday, 3-seed and 8-time Wimbledon champion Roger Federer came up against 9-seed Marin Cilic of Croatia, and Federer fell behind early, losing the first set in a tiebreak and then dropping the second one as well. And being down 2-0 might discourage some players, but not Federer, who came roaring back to win the third set and take the fourth set in a tiebreaker while fighting off 3 Cilic match points. The Swiss legend then rolled to a fifth set victory, winning match point with an ace. Federer moves on to the semifinals, where he'll face Canadian 6-seed Milos Raonic. Raonic beat American Sam Querrey in 4 sets to win the quarterfinal earlier on Wednesday as well, and that's no small feat, as Querrey eliminated world number 1 Novak Djokovic over the weekend. Federer and Raonic have met in the Wimbledon semifinal before in 2014, when Federer beat the Canadian on his way to a second-place finish. The other men's quarterfinals will be played later on Wednesday and will pit 2-seed and hometown favorite Andy Murray against French 12-seed Joe Wilfried Tsonga, while 10-seed Thomas Berdych will take on Frenchman Lucas Puy. The semifinals are scheduled for Friday. The women, meanwhile, finished up with their quarterfinal round on Tuesday. Venus Williams, the American 8-seed and 5-time Wimbledon champion, beat Yaroslava Shvedova of Russia in straight sets to advance to her 6th Wimbledon semifinal and her first since she was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder in 2011. Venus is thrilled to make it back to the semis.
Yeah, the road was 6 years. They go by fast, thankfully. But I've been blessed. Been really blessed to have an opportunity to be here, have had an opportunity in the past to do this. And I don't have any regrets about anything that's taken place in between. It's been a journey, but it's something that I've had to do, and it's made me stronger.
Venus will be facing German 4-seed Angelique Kerber, who beat 5-seed Simona Halep of Romania 7-5, 7-6 to reach her 2nd Wimbledon semifinal. Kerber, who won the Australian Open earlier this year, is looking forward to facing Venus.
So first, it's Venus, and I played against her a lot of tough matches as well. And I mean, she's always dangerous on grass, especially here in Wimbledon. And she had a lot of confidence right now. She played great matches. So, you know, I'm looking forward to play against her. It's the next challenge here. It's the semis, and I will just try to playing like the last matches, being aggressive, my game, and I'm looking forward to play against her again.
On the other side of the bracket, Venus's younger sister Serena, the world number 1, dispatched 21-seed Russian Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova in straight sets to move on. In the semis, Serena will take on another Russian, the unseeded Elena Vesnina. And Vesnina dominated against 19-seed Dominika Cibulkova in the quarterfinals, who has never reached a semifinal at a major tournament before. Even she is surprised by her performance.
It was like a dream came true. And I'm always thinking, like, you know, I can do well in the Grand Slams. And I had some good wins, and I was close to being in the quarterfinal a couple of times, but it was not good enough. And I was just waiting and waiting for this happen. But, of course, semifinal, it's a big surprise for me.
The women's semifinals will be played on Thursday, with the final taking place on Saturday. Venus and Serena Williams could meet in the final for the 8th time at a major if they both win their semifinal matches, but they're already playing together in London as a doubles team. Yesterday, they secured a straight sets victory in the 3rd round against 2 Czech women, and if they continue playing well, we may get a chance to see both Williams sisters play in both the women's and women's singles and doubles finals. I'm Jonah Haskell. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Jonah. A South African judge sentenced sprinter Oscar Pistorius to 6 years Wednesday for the murder of his girlfriend, a sentence that's provoked outrage and may trigger another appeal from the prosecution. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
6 years for murder falls far short of the 15-year minimum recommended under South African law. But the law gives judges discretion in sentencing, and it's clear that Judge Tokozile Masipa exercised hers in handing down Oscar Pistorius's fate on Wednesday.
In the result, the sentence that I impose on the accused for the murder, dolus eventualis, of the deceased, that is Riva Steenkamp, is 6 years imprisonment.
That's just 1 year longer than the 5-year sentence she originally gave him for his original conviction of culpable homicide, which is equivalent to the crime of manslaughter in the United States. That 2014 conviction was overturned last year by an appeals court. Pistorius had been granted parole and been released after serving a year in prison. It is unclear how much of the 6 years Pistorius will actually serve now. He was taken directly to his jail cell after the sentencing. Ever the deliberate jurist, Masipa explained her reasoning in a lengthy written opinion Wednesday morning. South Africa does not hold jury trials. The athlete, who made history for being the first double amputee to compete in the Olympics in 2012, is a fallen hero who has lost his career, she said. She said his request to do community service instead of jail time was a noble gesture. And she said a long jail sentence would not serve the interests of justice. No sentence she delivered, she said, would satisfy the South African public. She was right about that. The internet erupted with outrage over the news. Most of the South African public have been braying for blood since Pistorius was arrested for killing Steenkamp in 2013 at his Pretoria home. But Pistorius's brother Carl joined the fray on the other side, tweeting Wednesday, "The record has been set straight and justice done. The truth will always prevail." And in person, the spokeswoman for the ruling African National Congress's Women's League described the sentence as an insult to women. The league has been a constant presence at the trial and has called for harsh punishment for Pistorius. The big question now, is it over? Pistorius's defense team said they do not intend to appeal. The prosecution did not immediately say whether they planned to appeal. The entire affair has been a heady mix of sports, celebrity, and death. It has also been an eye-opening experience for the South African public and, because it was the first South African trial to be broadcast live, an educational one. But at its core, this is a story of a young woman killed in her prime. Reeva Steenkamp was killed on Valentine's Day when her boyfriend shot 4 times through a locked bathroom door, killing her. Pistorius says he mistook her for an intruder. She was a model, a law graduate, and an aspiring reality TV star. And she was the youngest child in her family. Her father testified last month that he thinks about her constantly, even now, 3 years after her death. She would be 33. Her parents did not speak to journalists as they shuffled out of court Wednesday. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
We'll have some Olympic news just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, but a quick alert for my Facebook friends. At 45 minutes past the hour, you'll get a good look at Studio 22 and the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook Live. We'll be going Facebook Live right here in Studio 22 at 45 minutes past the hour. Ivory Coast is sending 3 Taekwondo athletes to next month's Rio Olympics in Brazil. Martial arts are increasingly popular in West Africa, as Emily Yob reports from Abidjan.
It is the home stretch for these 3 Ivorian Taekwondo athletes. In their training room in the basement of the National Stadium in Abidjan, they spend every morning perfecting their skills under the guidance of their coach. The Rio Summer Games are just weeks away, and Ivory Coast has won only 1 Olympic medal in its history. That one was in athletics 32 years ago. Track and field is still the top category for African Olympians, but Asian martial arts are gaining ground, especially in West Africa. In all, African nations are sending more than 50 athletes to compete in Taekwondo and Judo this year.
Taekwondo Ivoirien pas confiant.
We are very confident our athletes are mature, says Atada Tadju, technical director of the Ivorian Taekwondo Federation. They are on a par with the best in the world. 22-year-old Ruth Bagby competed in the London Olympics in 2012 and has won gold in her category at the African Taekwondo Championship. She also won a gold medal at last year's African Games. Bagby says that government support is coming along gradually. As they see results, they are starting to show interest in the sport. But the public, yes, we have a lot of fans who approach us, who encourage us. Ivorians are motivated, she adds. Taekwondo was first introduced in Ivory Coast in the 1960s by a Korean master. The sport is now a popular extracurricular activity in Ivorian schools. In the school in Abidjan, classes are over for the day, but 100 pupils are attending an after-school class of taekwondo in the schoolyard, all dressed up in white dobok, the traditional martial arts uniform. 13-year-old Ange Manuel Kofi says it is his parents who got him involved in taekwondo. They saw that I didn't know how to defend myself and I was withdrawn because of that, Kofi says. The youngest pupils who attend the class are only 3 years old. Part-time coach Ibrahima Soumaro says the image of the sport has evolved over time. We used to think of martial arts practitioners as thugs who assault people, Soumaro says. Now, taekwondo is an Olympic sport. It is taught in schools and universities. It is practiced by an elite. 13-year-old Moussa Berthe says he has learned much more than self-defense in 5 years of practice. They teach us to be disciplined. This is how you recognize a person who does taekwondo. Discipline, respect, dignity, and wisdom, Berthe said. And Berthe says he will be watching the national team compete in Rio. There are examples to follow because they are champions and they come from Ivory Coast, so it encourages us to continue taekwondo, Berthe said. Rio will be the first Olympics for national team members Mamina Kone and Cheikh Cisse. Kone is a four-time medalist at the African Taekwondo Championship, and Cisse won gold in his category at both the African Games last year and at the African Championship earlier this year. Cisse says that they will try their best to bring home a medal so the next generation can be at ease and practice the sport in good conditions in Africa. Taekwondo has been an Olympic sport since 2000. Only three Africans have won medals in the event. Emily Yop for VOA News in Abidjan.
Thanks, Emily, and good luck to those three Taekwondo athletes from Ivory Coast who will compete at Rio 2016. Emily Yob reporting from Abidjan. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
One big name, Roger Federer. We talked a little bit earlier about Roger Federer's comeback win at Wimbledon. Two sets down, comes back, wins the match in five sets, and social media has just gone wild with this. The Great Escape was one tweet that I saw. They call it The Great Escape from Roger Federer. And then one from Esquire magazine just said, all hail the king. Roger Federer, of course, a huge champion, arguably the greatest of all time in men's tennis. And he pulls off an impressive victory today over Marin Cilic, who, by the way, Marin Cilic beat him just a few years ago to get to the U.S. Open final in a big upset. So Federer has his revenge. Stat I saw that was fascinating. Cilic was 51-0 in his matches when leading by two sets. Well, now he's 51-1 because Federer's come back and won it. But lots of excitement for Roger Federer and a lot of excitement now. This means that he moves on even closer to potentially going to that final and winning another Grand Slam title. There's a lot of questions about whether Federer could do it again. Of course, he's, I think, 34 years old, so it's after you hit the age of 30, it gets a lot harder. I think there are only two men who have won a Grand Slam title after the age of 30, and Roger Federer could do it at Wimbledon this year.
Jonah Haskell, do you think we're going to be seeing a Federer-Murray final in England?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the way it's going. We'll see if Federer can get by Raonic because he's a good young Canadian player, but I definitely think Federer will beat out Raonic, go to the final, and then I think Murray's just gonna go through his side pretty easily as well.
Andrew, lots of great storylines at Wimbledon. On the women's side, maybe another all Williams sisters final on Saturday. I think they last met at Wimbledon in the final in 2009.
I think so. I remember actually watching it. I believe, and I'll have to go and check this, I believe it was on the 4th of July. So that was a big match that year that was very exciting. But, it's been rarer as the years have gone on for the Williams sisters to meet at all in a Grand Slam. In the past couple years, however, they met actually at Wimbledon last year. They met at the U.S. Open last year, and now the potential to meet at Wimbledon again this year. So the internet is really pulling for the Williams final. They're really hoping they can both make it. Pulling for Venus, like Roger Federer, getting up in years as far as tennis player goes. Still very young, you know, generally, but Venus is 36, and you don't often play tennis into your mid to late 30s. So internet's pulling for her, social media's pulling for her, and they're pulling for a Venus-Serena matchup and Roger Federer to make it to the final as well. And as I texted a friend the other day, I said, it's like we're back in the late 2000s. It's vintage tennis that we're seeing.
In the women's semifinals, Andrew, outside of the Williams sisters, we have Angelique Kerber from Germany and a very unheralded Russian, Vesnina.
Right.
You give them any chance of making it to the final?
You know, back at the U.S. Open last year, we had a similar situation where Serena Williams was playing somebody who that really wasn't known in Roberta Vinci. And guess what? Roberta Vinci beat her, and that might be one of the biggest upsets ever in tennis. So you never can count out these players who aren't seeded. They go on a hot streak, and they could, you know, do the unthinkable. Case in point, you look at Sam Querrey. Sam Querrey lost today to Milos Raonic in his quarterfinal match, but he was the giant slayer. He beat Novak Djokovic in, you know, another huge upset. So you just never can tell. These tournaments are kind of a funny thing when teams get hot or players get hot in any tournament, really. But with these players especially, it can happen.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Post your comments. We're streaming live on Facebook. I can read a few of your comments right now here in Studio 22. Also, follow me on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew Palcheski, what else is trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
So Roger Federer was the big name trending for his impressive come-from-behind victory. Lionel Messi is trending for quite a different reason. Court has ruled that Lionel Messi is guilty of tax fraud, and they handed him down a 21-month jail sentence. Now, in Spain, where this was handed down, apparently any jail sentences under 2 years are usually served out on probation, so it's doubtful that he'll ever have to go to jail. But he's also being fined 2 million euros, so he'll have to pay a lot of money in this tax fraud case. So there's a lot of questions on social media. Will he actually serve jail time? How will he serve probation? How might this affect his career and his playing? And does it tarnish his reputation? You know, when we see these athletes go through these scandals, there's kind of one of two paths they can take. It can either be something that really destroys their reputation and is a dark mark on their career, or it's something they kind of rise from and they go on and it's just kind of a footnote. So we'll see how that turns out, but there's a lot of debate back and forth already just as this ruling has been handed down on how it might affect him and his reputation.
Andrew, my guess is Lionel Messi can afford to pay that fine as one of the highest paid players in world football.
Well, that's one of the things, too, on social media that I always love in these, you know, tax fraud or tax evasion cases, especially with these high paid athletes. People say, you know, you probably should have just paid the taxes to begin with. It would have saved you a lot of trouble, and it's not like you can't afford it. So there's a lot of, you know, jokes at his expense saying probably should have just done the right thing from the get-go. But no, I think he'll be able to pay that and hopefully rebuild and re-establish his image from this. And who knows? But, you know, like I said, a lot of questions swirling on social media about what this will mean for him.
Andrew, just over 2 hours from now in Lyon, France, big international football match. We have Wales, Gareth Bale going up against Portugal with Cristiano Ronaldo in the first semifinal at the European Football Championship. I'm guessing I remember you giving me those country acronyms on one of our earlier shows. So maybe Wales Poor or Poor Wales will be trending.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Poor Wall or Wall Poor or whatever it will be, but no doubt that that'll be trending. Lots of attention on those two big players and those two teams, seeing which will prevail there. But no, it's very exciting on social media to watch as the tournament continues. These matches pop up and these hashtags pop up. I'm going to go back a little earlier in the tournament to Iceland. Even though they got knocked out 5-2 by the host country France, the team coming back to Iceland, I think it was just about everybody who lives in Iceland was there to greet the team. And just such great social media that we saw. It was such excitement. Even though they lost, they're really, really proud of their team, as they should be.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew. Thanks also to my Facebook Live videographer, Jewel Struck. She did a wonderful job with that pivoting and swiveling, and it worked. Thanks also to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
4 years ago, determined to end preventable child deaths within a generation, the United States, Ethiopia, and India joined UNICEF to rally the world behind the Child Survival Call to Action, a sustained global effort to save the lives of children under the age of five. The goal was to lower child mortality rates in the hardest-hit countries to 20 deaths per 1,000 live births by the year 2035, and to continue progress in those nations already below that rate. Out of this grew Acting on the Call, Ending Preventable Child and Maternal Deaths, a USAID-led initiative that identified 24 high-priority countries, which together accounted for 70% of all child and maternal deaths, and develop for them results-oriented plans to meet these targets. And as a result, children are surviving at a rate never seen before, while fewer mothers are dying due to complications from pregnancy and childbirth. Since 2008, USAID's efforts in the 24 priority countries have helped save the lives of 4.6 million children and 200,000 women. Last year saw some particularly impressive results. So, for example, newborn deaths dropped by 13% in target facilities in India. 95% of Tanzania's previously unprotected children living in areas where immunization rates have been lowest have been vaccinated. And for the first time ever, all of the Democratic Republic of the Congo received malaria program coverage. And we are hoping to do even better. USAID's drive to end preventable child and maternal deaths focuses on the poorest 40% of the population in priority countries, in hopes of saving the lives of 8 million mothers and children from this segment of the population by 2020. And the program will expand to another priority country, Burma. We've taken a challenge that was once too big to tackle and turned it into a solvable problem, said USAID Administrator Gail Smith. We can measure our progress against achievable targets. We can apply interventions where the evidence tells us they will have the greatest impact. We're building momentum that I'm confident will carry us over the finish line, a world where preventable maternal and child deaths are actually prevented.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the 18-year prison sentence given to former Congolese Vice President Jean-Pierre Bemba by the International Criminal Court for rape and murder in the Central African Republic. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.